Hi, this is Jeff Lazar, a registered Oracle practice lead. Today I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about a couple of things we're seeing with Oracle, and really more of kind of a recommendations, if you will, transformational recommendations that we think if Oracle were to take these, or at least implement some of them, they could really potentially dominate the market, just based on how so much has been changing in the market today. I think there's really a big chance here for Oracle to step up if they're willing to really adapt, evolve, and in some ways trailblaze. So I'm just going to cover a couple of these for you. One of the things I think that Oracle could really do initially would be to consolidate their cloud applications as one business, with one leader being the key part there and one culture. They're kind of trying to do this with Fusion right now, but really hasn't gone very smoothly. But on the application side, they never really became an innovative application company. And I think just with the disputes that Larry Ellison had with Thomas Kurian kind of leading that effort, and the different ways they've done things and trying to keep everything be a closed loop that all runs on Oracle, I think they would be better served if they really just brought in a true application innovative leader and let them develop that culture that'll then attract the best talent that's out there, and they could really then go ahead, I think, and really develop excellent applications. And you just look at some of the things that Microsoft has done over the years as far as how they've transformed when Satya Nadella took over. I think Oracle needs that type of leader. Even if it's not going to be the overall leader of Oracle yet, obviously Larry Ellison's getting up there in some years. I'm not sure if Safra Catz is the right leader of the whole organization, because she's simply not on the tech side of things, on the business side, more from the CFO perspective. But I think if they could bring in that key application leader, they could really do some great development, because they certainly have the resources to do that. Two would be more on the commercial side of things. I think it's providing transparency with pricing and removing these cloud pillars. I mean, these have just been real frustrations for customers, as we've talked to many over the last couple of years. Some of the pricing is out there, but again, for cloud pricing, some of that's not out there. For example, retail, the Oracle retail, the business solutions in particular, those aren't out there. There's other ones within the specific industry verticals that don't exist, or at least I should say are not publicly available. So that's been frustrating for many customers when they've worked with Oracle and trying to understand the pricing, they don't get list pricing. The same goes for the cloud pillars, right? This is really extremely challenging. It's all based, the discounting is based on how much you're spending within that cloud pillar at that particular time. So it just is frustrating for organizations if they're spending a lot, for example, in HCM, but then they're looking at CX, the customer experience applications, but they're only purchasing a little bit there, the discounting is completely different. It just becomes very transactional. And I know Oracle thinks that it helps them kind of incentivize customers to buy more within those pillars, but what it really ends up doing is frustrating customers. And they end up not making a purchase because they know they have to wait till they have a large purchase in order to get the best deal. So they're really missing out on a lot of opportunities from the perspective that we're seeing in the market. Three, I think, is a big one here, which is to stand behind their cloud services and data security protections. I mean, certainly Larry Ellison has preached on about their great technological advantage on the Autonomous Database, the Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, OCI, and they're on the second generation, and all the different things they have going on with the different security layers and the bots, et cetera. I think it sounds outstanding, and I haven't heard anything that suggests it's not working as advertised. But one of the things, when you start looking at their contract, right, there's no the limitation of liability excludes everything pretty much. It's only liable for the last 12 months of services fees paid. They're actually paid for the service tower that gives rise to liability. There's no protection against data hacking or security for that matter, for data breaches at all. There's no warranty related to that either. So it's just really lacking and really puts all of the risk back on their customers, which is very odd considering they're the ones providing the services. And it was one thing when you had perpetual on-premise licenses and there need to be some protections there about how you're going to use those licenses. But with cloud, Oracle's providing everything and they control everything. Therefore, it seems like they would be the ones that would be in the best position to guard against those risks. Not all cloud providers do this, but I think Oracle is a unique situation where they really can. I think they have the financial wherewithal to do this. They can certainly pass off some of these costs through insurance. I think it would just really put them out in the forefront there and standing above and beyond their competition. And then two more things that I think are a little bit more creative. One is being to implement really true cloud incentives. And what I'm looking for here is to provide the first year at no charge, and then also to agree to no price increases for the next 10 years. Now, this is pretty bold, obviously. And it might not be something that that Oracle is willing to do, or at least would not like to do. But here's the difference here, right? I think for one, for cloud, certainly for the tech stack, right, the costs are supposed to go down over the years, not up. But when you look at customers, right, they really hate paying for solutions that are not in production, and they really hate getting involved in situations where they get these large downstream price hikes. So if you were to eliminate those two pain points for customers, I think you'd see a lot more customers looking to sign up for the service. And really, that's key for Oracle, right? Because what they should really be looking at, from our perspective, is incentivizing customers to fully deploy, adopt the solutions, start to see that value realization, get quantifiable results there. And then what happens is, over time, the business processes and the Oracle solutions kind of become one and the same in the mindset of the users. So now you really have that stickiness. You really kind of sunk that hook in there. And the price protections, they'll also incentivize footprint expansion into other cloud applications. I think this is a real big area for Oracle if they really want to get very innovative here. They have the war chest to bear these costs. Again, they're really minimal. The cloud infrastructure costs are going to go down over the next 10 years, if anything else. And the competitors really don't have the financial wherewithal to do this. In some cases, they really don't have the cloud development infrastructure security either. So, if Oracle is able to do this, I think it would just really set them far and apart from what their competition is offering at the time. And the last piece I offer here is something that's a bit unique, which is called the Larry Ellison Implementation Fund. This one could have some legal challenges, but it is thinking a little bit out of the box here. And where I'm going with this is, obviously, Mr. Ellison's been extremely successful, one of the wealthiest people in the world, and his database technology has certainly driven that, driven Oracle. As they got into the application space about 20 years ago and have done outstanding. But this is kind of something similar to the way Oprah gives away free cars to her studio audience back in the day, right? The customers are what made Larry Ellison so wealthy. So why not give something back to them? And this would have to be not Oracle's money, but Mr. Ellison's money, setting up some sort of a fund. And with this fund, it would grant money to Oracle customers. So you look at customers with prior investments, from a spend level, the duration, how long they've been a customer, their footprint, et cetera. You factor all that in. And then from that, you give a grant of money to help cover the cost of cloud implementation. So it goes specifically to cloud. I think that would be really nice for them to give back to the customer in that way. But they could also give the gift of giving as well, which would be requiring customers to make a matching donation to their favorite charity or charities. I think this would be just really unique in that customers then get the write-off of the charitable donation, but they're also able to get the feeling of the gift of giving and having their employees be able to be part of that, hopefully. This is something unlike any charitable trust that I've been aware of, right? If you look at the Gates Foundation, obviously they do tremendous work in giving back to great causes that really benefit the community. But they're the ones that select those charities, and they're the ones that ultimately receive that joy of giving. So this could be completely different, where the customers are the ones that are out there finding all these charities, because there's so many out there, they're tough to find. Let the customers do it and let them get the gift of giving. I think for Larry Ellison, if he were to do something like this, it just really shows kind of the empathy. I think it gets people excited to participate in that sort of way, customers to be excited, and really would make him a trailblazer in that he would raise the stakes for all other charitable foundations to do this. So again, that's a bit of a unique one. It could really have some legal challenges there, but I think if Oracle starts to look at even some of these, even the first four that I've mentioned, and even if they could do something with a fifth where they could just make the cost of cloud implementation, find some way to compensate their customers, especially the longstanding customers that are migrating, I think it would just really help drive their growth in cloud and really get customers to want to migrate, provide the solutions, work as advertised. And certainly on the tech stack, that's been the case, what we've been hearing. On the application side, it's been a bit clunky, but it's getting better. So anyway, there's some food for thought for Oracle, but certainly love to hear your suggestions or comments if you have anything to comment on. And again, some of this will be repeated in a blog that's being released shortly. Thank you for listening.